Our Africa on Kaya Biz with Kokuletho Mfuphi.
24 minutes after 6 o'clock, Afropolitans, you're still listening to Kaya Biz. As we all know, just after 3 o'clock today, all eyes were focused on OR Tambo International Airport. I'm tempted to sing the song again, but I'm not too sure if you'll still continue listening. But the plane has arrived and the vaccines are certainly here. 1 million vaccines from AstraZeneca, which are meant to help South Africa respond to the threat and the concern of rising COVID-19 infections. Not only mentioning the 1 million vaccines that we've received, but also 20 million surprise vaccines that are said to be making their way to the country. So we'll continue to monitor how that will be rolled out. But whilst we know that this is a healthcare pandemic, it has also made our economy quite ill, and as a result, a lack of economic performance that ourselves and the rest of the world are reeling from. But what does the promise and hope of the rollout of the vaccines actually mean for South Africa's economy? To give us some clarity on this, we joined on the line by Professor Nhlanhla Mbatha. He is from the Institute of Social and Economic Research at Rhodes University. Professor Mbatha, always a pleasure to speak to you, and thanks for making time today.
Good evening, Kokuletho, and your listeners. Thanks for the invite.
I appreciate that you must have gone through all the numbers to review the dynamics regarding the vaccines that we're receiving today. But are we finding that the 1 million vaccines that we've managed to procure, will they be enough to actually meet the need of frontline healthcare workers who are most at risk of getting infected?
No, the answer is simple, no. 1 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccines is not enough. It's a start, but it is not enough. I mean, the World Health Organization guidelines indicate that 2 doses of the vaccine are required per person. So that translates into only 500,000 people that would be patients receiving the vaccine in these new doses.
That's quite concerning, because we do know that this is something that does need to be managed accordingly. But from a numbers and financial point of view, how have we anticipated the financial markets to respond to the story?
Yeah. So just on the vaccine numbers themselves, we at least need about 20 million people to be somewhat safe, to get vaccinated. So this translates into 20 million doses that are required. I'm a little bit concerned about the logistics around the number of days that it would take to do audits. For example, a report by the Minister of Health the other day was that 14 days would be required to do so. For 20 million doses, that would translate into nine months just dedicated to the auditing process. I think logistically this indicates the number of challenges that our public sector is most likely to be faced with. So we need better planning. I'm sure that would require private sector partners to assist in this regard. But we need to keep a watchful eye on what is happening on that front. So moving on to the likely effect on the financial market and the economy as a whole, I think we need to separate the two effects. Financial markets sort of like respond differently, because most of them really are driven by how confident, how investors are viewing the markets with confidence in terms of who the growth is going to come from for them. Profits, and often these are short-term growth that they're looking at based on speculation and gambling. Prior to the pandemic, and during the pandemic, most of the financial market stocks that have seen growth are those that are in growth stocks, which are really based on speculation, and they include entities like technology stocks and the digital economies. But in the U.S., what we saw in November is that with the introduction of the vaccine, there was a rise in value stocks, which were making a comeback. And these stocks really have a high intrinsic value in themselves, as they are evaluated by market prices, and they include financial services, energy sector, and real estate. For me, it is increased, increases observed it's a little bit comforting, because the more likely they have better potential of having bigger distributional impacts on the economy, and as they affect positively the labor markets. But those, because financial markets are really based on speculation, and their results could or could not translate into actual observed positive impacts on the ground, it's better for us to look at how the GDP and the economy as a whole is being affected in the introduction of vaccines. So I don't know if you want me to tell you what I think is likely to happen on these aspects.
For sure, we definitely want to know, particularly as well, the impact on the economy and GDP in general, because ultimately we do need to find ourselves in a position where we can bolster economic growth.
Yes. So, I mean, the estimations for GDP decline in 2020 were that we, in the third and in the second and third quarters of the year, last year, we had a decline of about 6%. That is really big. The year, the estimation was that we could have lost about 275 billion pounds for the whole year. That is 20% of our total public sector budget annually. So as the vaccines come in, we would be looking at having a very slow rebound of the economy in actual terms. We would be looking at the vaccines ensuring that people are becoming healthy, the COVID cases are going down, and that should then lead to more sectors happening and more economic activities are taking place. Because really the way that the GDP is measured is by calculating the number of transactions buying and selling of consumers, actual consumers in the market. So with lots of sectors shut down and some of them never having a chance to come back, this buying and selling has been severely affected. So this is going to be a longer-term expectation in terms of the GDP numbers coming back up to levels prior to 2020. So just to reach 2019 GDP levels is going to take us a while, even if in the short term we expect to be experiencing some positive growth numbers. Some of these sectors have experienced job losses where people will never get back their jobs, especially with small business sector, with entities like restaurants having to shut down and not having a chance to come back again, with numbers of people employed in those sectors not being able to get back their jobs in the near future. So the GDP impacts, real economy impacts, are going to be more long-lasting than just the financial market impact.
Quite concerning, especially given where we are, and of course, us anticipating the outcome of the budget speech later this month. But before we get to the end of this month, tonight at 8 o'clock, the president will be addressing us, and we are hoping for some positive feedback in terms of relief of some of the restraints that we've seen in South Africa. But essentially, how long will it take, Professor Mbatha, for us to rebound back to the levels of business transactions that were actually recorded before the pandemic and subsequent lockdowns were implemented?
I think some of the issues that are going to affect the time that we might get back to those levels would also depend on how the logistics of effectively managing the administration of the vaccination is going to be. So that's why I said earlier on, we really need to watch how government is managing this process, because they have to be actual health effects of the vaccine for the sectors to fully reopen on the one hand. So I think we're going to be spending a lot of 2021 just getting through the vaccination process. And then we might start seeing positive results, actual real positive results coming through in 2022. And We also would have the government supporting in terms of monetary policy, supporting consumers in regaining confidence in spending their money on the economy. The Reserve Bank has, in the last few months, lowered its interest rates to try and make sure that people can get loans at cheaper prices, to try and stimulate economic activity. I think we should also watch what happens on that front in terms of monetary policy, whether or not the Reserve Bank starts to think that maybe the time has come to start increasing interest rates, because the effect of increasing interest rates could also have a negative impact on how consumers feel confident about getting loans and spending and ensuring that the GDP numbers grow again. So there's a number of factors, as you can see. It's the vaccine itself, it's how the government responds and encourages consumers to buy and sell, is affected by monetary policy and the Reserve Bank on the one side. But overall, I think it's going to take us a year at least, but I would say we should expect at least to get back to those numbers, if at all, in 2022, we might be on track to be getting back.
Yeah. Interesting times ahead, Professor Mbatha, and we look forward to seeing how this does unfold, crossing our fingers that it is for a favorable outcome in an economic recovery. That's Professor Nhlanhla Mbatha, who is the director of the Institute of Social and Economic Research at Rhodes University, giving us an update on the economic consequences that could be faced regarding the rollout of the vaccine in South Africa. South Africa is just not the only country on the continent that's actually looking to procure vaccines. Ghana has also made plans to procure 17.6 million doses of a COVID-19 vaccine, which should arrive in the month of March. No clarity yet as to where they'll come from, but I think certainly shows that the continent at large is looking to react and respond to curbing this pandemic through vaccines.